Hello,
Hello.
everyone.
Good morning.
Nice to see you. All right, I'm just going to wait for folks to join. I just get one more minute and then we can get started. Welcome, welcome to the Folio Reporting SIG meeting for today. Linda, are you okay doing attendance?
Got it.
Thank you so much. All righty, let's go ahead and get started. Just a few topics that we have prior to our main topics. We like to ask each meeting, what topics would you like us to cover in the reporting SIG? And we've been getting some really good ideas from this, and we most of the time we can get the topic covered somehow. Sometimes it's just something that we don't have folks ready to do a presentation on. But it's always good to hear from you. So let me open it up to the floor. Just are there any topics having to do with reporting, data delivery, data, got data, need data, what have you, that you would like us to see us cover in the reporting SIG meeting, in an upcoming reporting SIG meeting? And you can think about that and post in the chat, or did somebody see people are joining and looking at things. So, okay. All right. I'll leave you with that thought and feel free to just post something in the chat or just to send a Slack message to me or Scott at any time if you have a topic that you're thinking, oh, I really want to know more about this. Right now, we're working on trying to cover this request for how do I get data from APIs. We want to do a little bit more on the reporting app. And of course, we have Power BI. AJ is going to provide us with some great information today from Tamu on using that. Just let us know. The WolfCon 2025 conference is coming up, scheduled for September 22 to 25 in Kansas City, Missouri. You can go virtually or you can go in person. The schedule is here if you want to take a look at the topics, which are really getting finalized at this point. I think, Jen, you're on the committee for this, right? Is there anything?
I am. So there are pre-conferences on Monday. What is reporting is one of those.
Thank you.
Yes, a good tidbit there. So if you do want to go to a pre-conference, just make sure that you do register for that in addition to the conference. If not, the conference starts on Tuesday and is Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. So we really have a good selection of, pre-conference and conference stuff. For now, the pre-conferences, I will say the pre-conferences are not virtual, they aren't hybrid. So this is really kind of meant to be a workshop, get your hands in there with the data, type of stuff, which is just easier to do in person. For the conference, most everything, practically everything, is hybrid. The only reason it wouldn't be is if the presenter specifically asked that it not be hybrid, meaning that it not be recorded. And I think there was only one that did that. So we have, as you can see, we have OpenRS, we have ViewFind sessions, we have a Folio session. So anything that belongs to the Open Library Federation will be here. So exciting. I hope you can join us, either in person or at least virtually. Everything here is listed in the time zone for Kansas City. So please make sure that you do change the time zone for your time zone. Yes, otherwise you'll miss it and you'll be like, what happened? Does anyone have any questions about the conference?
I could just ask for virtual attendance, what's the fee?
Oh, that's
Is it $60?
I
I want
believe
to say
it's 75. It's
75.
75.
Okay.
I just registered
Thank
for
you.
it. It's 75.
Ah, thank you so
So
much.
that is 50% higher than last year.
Yeah. Yeah, and the conference, if you're going in person, is 350. Early bird, although I think we're past that now. Or
We
are
are
we past
past
that?
early bird.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think it's gone up to
Yeah.
let me check. 425. So yeah. I mean, if you're there in person, you do get breakfast and lunch, so that's and snacks throughout the day, which is nice. So for the virtual attendees, yeah, we just with all the IT, so we have all the IT support, which unfortunately is not cheap. Prices of it's not just eggs that have gone up, it's it's everything. Yeah.
When you're in the schedule, I just wanted to mention if you want to focus on data warehouse stuff, you can just choose LDP MetaDB, and then that, gets into the reporting stuff. But there's a lot of other topics to go to as well. Shameless self-promotion. Thank you, Jennifer, and for we have the Got Data workshop in the pre-conference, and then we are doing a 50-minute session. Welcome to the wide world of folio reporting as well. So that one can be attended, this one can be attended virtually. So we're going to try to cover as much as we can about anything that relates to reporting. So
Yeah, and Mike Gorell is also doing a virtual ONI session on it's there on Thursday, LDP project
LDP
overview.
project overview.
Yeah.
Okay. Nice. Nice. Yeah. So good stuff happening, whether you're attending virtually or in person. I always try to, for sessions that I'm involved in or attending, try to really be sensitive to the folks who are connecting on Zoom. Make sure everybody can hear and see. And if you do go virtually, don't hesitate to say, hey, don't forget about us, make yourself known for those sessions. I think that helps. All righty. So links are right here if you haven't had a chance to look at the schedule yet. And ongoing topics, we have impacts of new fields and features. We'll continue to collect those. This month, we're really focused on the community priorities dashboard that Product Council has asked SIG conveners to weigh in on. We're also looking at gathering up some reporting app topics to try to pull those together, and also API related stuff. So we do have Corey Hutchinson has joined our documentation working group, so we do have additional support, which is fantastic. So thank you so much, Corey. And now, just to touch on the community priorities dashboard development, I'll just go here so you can see what is that. And if you let me pop that open here. And why are we talking about it? Each of the SIGs has down here top priorities for development from their SIG perspective. So this is an opportunity that you have to weigh in on what you'd like to see happen development-wise. And you can see that we have for reporting, data array extraction has been ongoing. I'm kind of wondering if we even need to list this now. We might want to just move this data anonymization GDPR compliance up as our number one, because this is already happening. And what a 1.4 beta is out. So I don't know if anyone has thoughts on that. But I'm kind of thinking, let's just do this one and then as our top priority, and then see if we have some others that we can fill in. But this is a chance for you to just let us know if there's something that you're waiting for that affects reporting that you want to see get developed and get prioritized. We have at Cornell found many issues over the years that have impacted reporting for us, and that we've weighed in on, that just in terms of Folio software development, because the way the data gets added or, moves into MetaDB. It sounds like Scott, did you have something to add?
Yeah, I just want to comment on the priorities of reporting, and I think we need to leave the data array extraction there
Oh, okay.
until it's actually done.
Ah.
I just want
Okay.
to I
Okay.
just hate to reboot
Sure.
like that.
Okay.
Thanks.
Okay. Okay. And when you say done, Scott, do you mean like
Released.
all?
Yeah.
Oh, until the final is released. Got it.
Yes.
Got
Yeah.
it. Okay. 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 Sounds good. So the other issue we've talked about, GDPR compliance, and so we'll definitely leave that there as a top priority as we look at what comes into the MetaDB, just prioritizing tools to assist with data privacy would be important here. The other topic that has come up from Stefan is the content permissions. Let me just before we pop over to that, I have this request for reporting app user permissions role in progress. I'm not, Mike Taylor is the developer for reporting app, and he and other folks at Digixia are pretty active in trying to get this done. So I'm not sure if we have to put it there or not. So I'm just leaving it there as it is a priority for our institution, and perhaps other institutions using reporting app. But it might get done. Yeah, it could be a second or yeah. Okay, let's see. Think about GDPR as priority one and data array extraction is priority two. Oh, okay. Well, what do folks think about that? Let me pop over here back to this. So Joanna's asking, what if we switch these and move data privacy to the number one slot and data array extraction to the number two slot? So I know that a lot of folks are very invested in data array extraction. But at the same time, data privacy is really important. So, yeah, privacy. Yeah, privacy is becoming more important. Yeah. Well, let me ask it this way. Would anyone object to us switching these priorities. Just a quick yeah, nothing to be done. That's a good point, Joanne. Okay, well, I'm not hearing any objections, so it sounds like it might be good for us to switch these. So, once you we have a little bit of time for you to think that over, and again, please let me or Scott know if you have further thoughts on that. So I think we will go ahead and switch these then. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Sharon, I
Yeah.
just have one more quick comment here.
Yeah.
I think Stefan also raised a very good point that reporting and prioritization is weird because there's a listsap that's happening elsewhere,
Yeah.
and there are also all sorts of ways to get to reporting, and so I'm not
Yeah.
certain how we accommodate that
Yeah.
because this says reporting writ large, and yet there's this
Well, I think there is a section for
listsap. I'm sure there is.
LISAP, so we
Yeah.
could ask the product owners to list our priority
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's
if we
probably a
have
good thing.
something for that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
We can see.
Yeah, I asked Kathleen a while back to list the priorities, and I think she must be really busy. I can ask, reach out to her again, because she didn't
Okay.
get back to me.
Okay.
I know I think she might have a high level roadmap, but I'd have to go search for it.
Okay.
I think she presented it earlier this week or last week in the SIG.
Okay.
I'm not certain. I can't remember for now.
Okay. Okay. So yeah, I think, that as SIG conveners, we can talk to other SIG conveners and just say, hey, we'd like to see this in the LISAP, and we're sort of related. That's and I think when we talked last time, we were talking about the cross app group and some things that we might have some interest in there. So, okay, LISAP has plans for Trillium and a few for Umbrella Leaf. Okay, so it's certainly something that we could talk with the other SIG conveners about. And just oh, okay, there they are. Okay, thank you. That's helpful. Okay, here's a high level. I'll add that to the notes then. Okay, so there's that. There's also, I just want to have everybody see that Stefan has a proposal for content. Sorry, I'm lost my place here. For content permissions for the reporting app, and has asked if you all could take a look at this PDF for which he has put together to demonstrate what he's looking for. And then if we could talk about it next meeting, is that when you wanted to talk about it, Stefan, is next meeting?
Yes. Yeah, it's the first draft of the idea. So, and we should talk more about this idea, and maybe someone have more that we should add to this draft. And I think we should make it ready for development before we talk with the product owner about this idea. And yeah, I'm not sure if we can finalize that in the next week. Maybe we need more than one meeting for this.
Okay. So if you all could take a look at this, proposal, which is pretty much an almost completely written JIRA ticket for content permissions for the reporting app, I think it's a really nice design, Stefan. I'm sorry, I'm having screen issues here. Okay, let's stretch that out. There we go. Okay. We can bring it up next meeting and the meeting after and just see where we are with it. And if folks want to have this go on to our community priorities dashboard as something that should be developed, then we can add that. All right, so I'll let you all look at that on your own. And oh, I'm sorry, Jen? Yeah.
So with Sunflower, we're getting Eureka. So that is changing all of the permissions that we've had thus far. So you might want to take that. And I know this is like, I think this is, I think the report, I'm pretty sure the reporting app has some sort of permissions associated with it.
Yes, it
But
does. Yep.
yeah, so it might be worth figuring out how they're going to change. It's going to be. So I steer clear of permissions generally just because they're so complex, but I think it's a role. Yeah, I know. It's like a going to a role-based model maybe, but it might be worth figuring out how they're going to change what's there and see how like these stories can fit into it. Because it is a radical change.
So maybe we could talk with Mike and Charlotte about that first. Is that what you mean?
I think that would be a really good idea, especially if there's something that they can do. Though, I mean, Sunflower, I think is, I don't know if there's any more development time, but if they can get something added, even if it might be a CSP, I think, talking about them, talking about it with them now is probably better. Yeah.
Well, it certainly also ties in with, data privacy, which has become a hot issue for us. So that'd be good. Okay, so I will let you take a look at that. Scott is reminding us that next week is our last week before we report back to the product council on what our priorities are. Maybe we should talk a little bit more about that and try to position that a little this week. So Stefan, let me just I'll just we can just follow up with you, Stefan, to see what you'd like to do because it sounds like it's a little urgent. So content permissions, I think the only thing I can think of as a co-convener of this SIG to help with escalating, raising up some of these issues is that are not in reporting SIG but relate to reporting and are important to the reporting SIG membership is to just chat with for Scott and I is to just chat with the SIG conveners from those areas. So that is something that we can do. But it is complex. So all right, so we'll keep plugging away at this. And I encourage you to take a look at this draft that Stefan has nicely put together and to weigh in on any of the priorities that you see on the dashboard. So everything is all linked up for you on the agenda. So if you want to take a look at that, just let us know your thoughts and we will try to help support getting the right things prioritized. All right. So without further ado, I have AJ Henryson here from Texas A&M University, who has graciously agreed to provide us with a Power BI demo to show us how Texas uses Power BI to deliver Folio data. So if you, I think the share is open for you, AJ, if you want to use the share to share screen.
Network.
Yes, I see 8.11 PBI presentation.
Excellent.
It's
Yes.
a little small.
That's all right. Those are just the links for me to click.
Oh, okay, great. Okay, thanks so
All
much.
right. So I was asked to show what A&M is currently using Power BI for. We're still on the upswing of our adoption for Power BI, but I can show some of our usage stats here. So we're able to pull in, this is older data for an example. We're able to pull in foot traffic from our doors in the same places that we have circulation traffic from Folio so that we can see how much of our foot traffic rise and fall for game days and such is related to how much physical circulation we have in the library at that time. We're having a lot of fun clicking through all these filters and having them change for us automatically, especially on the ones that are hooked to live data. We're also monitoring the health of the LDP and soon the MetaDB. I'm sure you all have experience with the LDP losing a table now or then and not realizing it in time. Now we have logging capabilities to show us every day that all of the tables have built, that all of the row counts are where we expect them to be, and if we that we haven't gotten any new errors. That's been very nice to have alongside. All of our cataloging reports are migrating bits at a time to either to workflows or to Power BI reports. So here our finance reports are already being pushed into Power BI out of Folio. We're doing the aggregations for the finance department. We are also doing our see. Well, foot traffic with our heat maps and our locations here. We've also got an extensive calendar table, a date table, which is a good thing to have for any of you who are building Power BI environments to have on so that we can track things by semester or by holiday usage hours, because we're always trying to adjust ourselves to what our students need in those unusual things. Also, see our finals traffic and how much heavier it gets at night. We've also got our ACRL reports. See if I can find one of those real quick. Are moved into I've been moved into Power BI so that we're not having to drag this information out of the system every year in a dead haste. So we're having great luck there. Our current overarching Power BI strategy is to start with the reports that people already need and use and build data sets for them. And then we're going to bring in the ability for people outside of the analysts to make their own reports with existing data. And then we're going to start sharing up more Folio tables as Power BI data sets so that people can quickly build these reports for themselves. So hopefully that's something that's valuable in the higher decision-making parts of the organization, as well as stuff that's these smaller ones that are more necessary for people doing specific jobs. I ran through my material very quickly. Did anyone have any questions?
Looks like Joanne has a question.
Hi, this looks really interesting. Is there a way to put labels on these various displays so that you know exactly what it is? I mean, I'm just, I'm coming at it from zero here, but I don't know what this chart is telling me. So, is there a way to put some sort of a label that just tells you really quickly, this is blah, blah, blah?
Sure. There's a few ways we can add things to these. We can add either, we can add titles that would sit on top of a table on here, or we can center them. We can also have mouse over
Oh,
tables.
okay.
This
Yeah, okay.
particular report comes from an old Voyager report. So the people that were using it were already used to this specific format. So I don't have anything terribly labeled on this one. You haven't used Power BI yet, it is very easy to make these reports
Oh,
once the
wow.
data is in. And we're able to add these things in from SQL queries. So we can pull the table in. Let's see. Grab one that's got a query in it. Then we get all the filtering and selection and stuff that you could ever want for, oh, I would just want to look at that, or only show me spring numbers. There's all sorts of filtering and advanced filtering in here. We can say, hey, I just want to look at holiday traffic. Should we be open on holidays at all? Well, let's find out. That's the wrong one after all that. Worked literally 10 seconds ago, I promise. We can still look at all of our holidays, man.
So the chat questions are coming in fast and furious. So I wonder if we could just back up for a second here. We have from Danielle, how much of the ACRL survey can you pull from Power BI now?
So, we are only responsible, my department, for I think six ACRL questions. And all of them currently come from Power BI because they all come from Folio, right? Anything that I can pull out of Folio with a query, I can dump into Power BI as a report.
Okay. All
Oh,
right.
there's my problem. I was using the wrong version.
So 100%, it sounds like.
Yeah, 100% of our portion, not necessarily everybody else's.
Okay. And the next question is, what is your source for foot traffic?
We have a contract with a company called Sensource to put foot traffic sensors all over all of our buildings. And they offer an API to pull the data out, which we pump into the LDP, the Postgres database that's underpinning our reporting stuff, also has our foot traffic data in it. So that was just one of our side projects was to import all of that. Makes it very easy to pull them through.
Okay, and then next is we migrated from
Uh-huh.
Voyager as well. Do you use any historical data from Voyager in your dashboards?
Yes, let me see if I can find that one. I took some time out. So we were able to join them together and add See if this works. I was able to join the old Voyager history, the Voyager circulation history, to the current folio circulation history and treat them as one set so that we could look at our much larger, 20-year checkout history and not just pull it over and take a second to load because it's big and the Voyager historical database is slow. Apparently down at the moment. Hopefully it will pull the cache table.
So you still have your database up and
Our Voyager database,
yeah.
we have stored some version of it
Huh.
for historical reference so that we can pull this old data and
Okay, yeah.
especially for resolving discrepancies from the import. Because
Okay.
A&M has something like 8 million instances. So there's a lot of data, so there's going to be a lot of funny errors in the thing.
Okay. So
This might take a minute to load, but it's there.
okay. There's another question. Is everything you're doing with Folio data based on LDP tables, or is anything direct? Is anything directly from Folio? So I'm guessing like API.
None of it is pulling from the Folio APIs. We do have access. We could use the Folio production database to pull directly from Folio servers instead. But for a few reasons, we elected not to connect Power BI to the production database and just use the reporting database. We didn't want our production database to be slowed down by it. And
Yeah.
also, the production database has a lot of JSON in it, which is not an easy thing to connect directly to Power BI. We'd have to make some queries that wouldn't be too fast. It's much better to be able to use the LDP where we can define new indexes when we need them and coerce the data ahead of time a little bit better.
Gotcha. Another question is, do you have any experience with Power BI's artificial intelligence features, and is it any good if you have?
I have not tried those yet.
Okay.
We use AI non-trivially here to troubleshoot queries, but it doesn't see a lot of use outside of that yet.
Okay. And next question is, can you walk us through a simple example of how you create a dashboard in Power BI?
Can. A second, let me. Let me pull up this other machine real quick. Let's do something. Y'all see this?
We see Firefox.
Perfect. Can see my typing skills degrade in real time.
So using Cloud Beaver.
And so the first thing I'm going to want is a query. I'm going to do an inventory query so that we're not looking at anything sensitive in here. Find the right LDP to pull this from. See, let's do. Maybe items holding instances is always fun, right?
Sure.
That's a big flat table with all the data you frequently want in it. Right. So we'll just do a simple query here. Keep in mind that we could be doing something fancier. Sure. Straightforward.
Just pull the table. Yeah.
Let's do something a little bit fancy to point out why we would do this. Let's see, do we have any date fields in this?
I don't.
Aren't we? Wait, we should be.
I don't
Should
know.
be a created date, right? Somewhere in
Well, it's this is a derived table.
catalog date. Here we go.
Oh, there you go.
We're gonna do. We're going to go ahead and coerce in the query to the date type for this because you do not want your dates to be text when they come over to Power BI. So,
Okay.
yeah, we have a sample query. Now we will open Power BI, which is about the fastest. Neat. A bunch of stuff to celebrate.
Are you using desktop or pro?
So, desktop is where you're going to author your reports
Okay.
broadly, especially because it's there's no version control in the Power BI online service. And your ability to edit things and update them and roll back is very limited. So we actually use GitHub to manage our reports. And then we put our.
So you save the SQL that you're pumping into it.
Yes.
Interesting. Okay, we do that as well.
Think my machine is running out of memory.
Tableau.
It does that from time to time whenever it's inconvenient.
Murphy's Law in action right now.
Live.
This is, happens to me all the time.
Okay, starting again. Yep, we good?
Yeah, there you
All
go.
right. One blank report, please. Nope. Well, I can show you how to do this. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to start a report. We're going to pretend to start a report.
Yes, I think as long as we sort of get an outline of steps, that would be helpful. Thank you so much. We have a lot of interest in Power BI. I think as universities are going into states of austerity, they and those in particular who are using Tableau are kind of taking a look at Power BI as a cost savings measure. And we do have a question as you're thinking about that. About how it compares with Tableau, but that's a
So
big question.
I have tried Tableau briefly when we were looking at which solution we were going to go forward for, and it did not seem as easy
Yeah.
to pick up. And part of our vision for this was that other people, our AULs and our senior university librarians, would be able to build their own reports once we had the data in Power BI. See if I can do this on my machine instead. You'll just have to pretend for a moment that the query generated the data and not the data set. Then I can show you how quick this is. So if I grab from the existing data sets, so you can see this, I have all this data already in here because I've already built it before. And now I have what accounts to tables and columns, and I can just start creating them. So
This reminds me of pivot tables.
they're very similar. Y-axis. Boom. There we go. And already I've got the ability to drill down.
AJ, so you want to publish this, save it so that other people can view it. Where, how is that set up for you via desktop, via Power BI desktop?
I just hit publish. I save this as the, what was the 11th, the 811 test here.
And do you all have a Power BI server? How are you sharing this out?
So Power BI's online service comes as part of Pro, and A&M has Pro as part of its big Microsoft license. So it's just already there and available. And so now if we go into, pull this up on the side here. I think that was the saved. Here is the published online available version. I could send this to somebody else and they can use it already in the service.
Are you able to share this out from, say, a web browser to a group of people or?
So the permissions on Power BI are very complicated. I could right now share this out because there's nothing terribly exciting in this one. Let me show you what the sharing options look like. It's limited to people who are at TAM, A&M,
Okay.
but I could also limit it to specific people within A&M, but it would still be limited to A&M personnel. There are ways to share it out to the public, and there are ways to share it across organizations, but for security, that takes a little more doing than just sharing this out as a link.
Okay. Okay, so when you share it with your users, like any of these reports, you just email them a link or?
Yep, I send them a link. And it's as easy as that. We actually have, show you this. This is the cataloging reports page where people have been using things from time immemorial since Voyager. And if you see the mouse over for this, just links to the service.
And where is the dashboard itself saved? Is that on your computer or
It is in the service with
in
Microsoft.
service, in the service of Microsoft? Okay.
Now, the desktop's version is sitting on my machine, and it's probably, I wasn't paying that much attention when I saved it. Yes, it is sitting in a GitHub folder. So this is a repo. I could push it right now out to, say it wants me to push the project file right now out to GitHub. And then I would have it on my
Nice.
machine.
Nice.
And also, we have folders where I would theoretically have saved the query externally.
So do you have people who go to your GitHub and download the dashboard and run it themselves?
No. In theory, they could ask, but mostly people use it through the service or they build their own.
Okay. And the interface to the service is just you're sending them links.
Yep. Or they could just go to the service, which is powerbi.com, and it will show you what you have access to. So there are things
Ah,
in here
there we
that I
go.
haven't built. Like here's our, don't even win the achievements. Here's our public view of where all those things are.
Okay.
Or here is Open Ed's, another department that I've helped work out before. And so here's the stuff that they would have.
Okay.
So once I've shared that, if it's something you're working on, you'd be able to find it quickly through the just through the service itself. But that's all very tied into
Okay.
Microsoft. And
Yeah.
if you're asking whether it's good, it's a Microsoft product and it feels like it. So if you really like
What
Excel,
is
if you
that?
really like Excel and the feel of Excel and Word, then you'll probably like this. And if you don't expect to like this.
You're getting a lot of thank yous. When you go to the service, the PowerBI.com, that's just showing you Tammuz Microsoft service.
Yes. I mean,
Okay.
that's a personal new web
Okay.
page. Things
Okay.
I've touched recently and things I'm working.
Well, thank you. Thank you. We're just sort of thinking through the server access piece of this. That's very helpful. Are there other questions? I think there's been a lot. There've been a lot of questions, and that's fantastic. So I think we hit on a good topic here. Or is there anything else that you'd like to show us that has been helpful in your journey? bringing
Let's
this?
see. If I was going to give you advice, I would say just dive in and play with it for a while, and you'll see whether or not it's for you. If I was going to pay money for this, I probably wouldn't, but it's already part of our package, so we basically get it for free. All of our staff members have a pro license for free. And the licensing is sketchy. Like, hey, here's good. You know what would be cool? I'd like to set an alert for this. Oh, look, it's automatically signed me up for a free trial because I clicked the button and it wasn't available yet.
Yeah, okay, there we go. There's the Microsoft comment.
And as soon as
Yeah.
I build
Yeah.
on that ability, I'm locked in. And when it goes away in a week, it will say, hey, if you want to save anything, you now have to pay us $2,000 a month.
Oh dear.
So,
Oh man.
yeah, I'd be wary of that
Yeah.
when you're starting out. We lost months because we didn't realize that we were working in a free trial capacity.
Well, I do have to say it's really good to hear that there's that ability to use SQL pretty quickly to generate things. A lot of our work in this SIG has been based in SQL. So folks who are interested in taking a look at dashboards for the first time or comparing that to Tableau, you can also use SQL with Tableau, but Tableau is much more complex. And it has a much steeper learning curve from what I can see right now, even though I haven't experimented with Power BI yet. Anybody have any other questions about this? I really appreciate your putting that together for us. Let's see. Joshua, yeah. Yeah, thank you. Yeah,
Yeah,
Adam.
I'm gonna have to go cancel that free trial that started itself now
Yeah.
somewhere,
Oh,
I
jeez.
hope.
That's annoying. So I think there are folks, just a side note, who are doing Power BI dashboard kind of demos at WolfCon. So you may want to check that out as well if you found that interesting to take a look at this. AJ, thank you so much. This is just in time training, wonderful overview, and really impressed with what you've been doing at TAMU as usual. So TAMU does these really the stellar things. So okay, I think we're good. Oh, I see Arthur's here. Arthur has been using Power BI for a while, right, Arthur? So he's done demos for us as well. So nice that we have an increasing group of users. Who knows? We might be doing a lot more on this in the future. Everyone is shouting thank you to you. And so if no one has any other questions or comments, and we'll close for today. And thank you again so much, AJ. Really appreciate it. And hope you all have a good week, and we'll see you at the next reporting meeting. So thank you. Take care.